Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. It's Monday, March 24th. Spring is here, but not so fast. Looks like we might get a little bit more snow coming in the northeastern portion of the country. Of course, NASCAR out on the West Coast for the Auto Club 400 out of Auto Club Speedway in Fontana, where they go once a year. Reported sellout. First time they've had that there in quite some time. Tonight I'm going to be joined. It's going to be ladies' night on the show. We're going to be joined shortly by NHRA Pro Stock racer Erica Ender Stevens, and at the bottom of the hour, Camping World Truck Series driver Jennifer Jo Cobb should be joining us on the air, and she'll be racing next weekend, or actually this coming weekend at Martinsville. So that's where NASCAR will be coming next. And of course, the Nationwide Series will be off this weekend as the trucks play host to the preview race out at Martinsville Speedway. Also this weekend, the NHRA goes out to Las Vegas, where they'll be going to race number four of their season. When Erica joins us, we'll be talking about what she's looking forward to this coming week. And, of course, coming up off runner-up this a couple weeks ago. Tried to get her on last week, but a little conflict of things with my people and her people, where things get changed around. But anyway, we'll look for her in a couple minutes. So that being said, turned out to be a pretty interesting day out at Auto Club Speedway. Of course, the Saturday was the Nationwide Series race, and looked like it was coming down to a battle of the Kyles again, and only this time Kyle Larson wound up taking the checkered flag for his first Nationwide win, and it turned out to be a pretty good battle between Harvick, Larson, and Kyle Busch. On the last few laps, they were swapping the lead back and forth, depending on who went high, who went low, and who came up the middle. And it was one of an exciting finish to the Saturday Nationwide Series race. Other news, for the Cup race, Denny Hamlin was not medically cleared to run the race. Sam Hornish Jr., who we've had here last year and is bid to become Nationwide Series champion several times, now driving for Gibbs Racing, was the fill-in driver. So he managed to have a good run. So it turned out to be a pretty good weekend. Of course, the Nationwide Series, Kyle Larson did manage to take the checkered flag, holding off Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch. Elliott Sadler was your pole sitter. It came down to 2 hours and 5 minute race with an average speed of 143.9. The margin of victory was 34.34 seconds. So it turned out to be a pretty close race. Harvick, who was driving the number 5 car for Junior Motorsports, wound up holding off Kyle Busch for second, and you couldn't tell which way that was going to go. So Joey Logano, who drove the 22 car this Saturday, usually Brad Keselowski drives that one, Logano in the 22. He wound up finishing fourth. Elliott Sadler was fifth. Chase Elliott driving the number nine for Junior Motorsports was sixth. Seventh was Matt Kenseth. Ty Dillon was eighth. Ninth was Trevor Bayne. And 10th was Regan Smith. There were four cautions for 15 laps, and there were 18 lead changes amongst six drivers. It was a pretty clean race because Fontana, even though the track is old, you can see the cars bouncing around on that, but it's an awfully wide racing surface, and it's 2 miles long. So there were parts where they were going fourth and five wide there. So it was pretty tough going for the cars there. As far as the points go for the Nationwide Series, Regan Smith did manage to hold on to the points lead. Of course, he had a finish. He was rounded out the top 10. So he's holding all the points lead over Trevor Bayne right now. Actually, it's a dead heat. But on a tiebreaker, you give it to Regan Smith because he has a win. Now, I don't know if that plays into the factor in the Nationwide Series as it does in the Cup Series with the Chase, but if you're tied in points, first tiebreaker is wins, and then top fives, top tens, and so on. So Dillon tied in points with 185. Ty Dillon is in third, six back, so, you know, it's pretty close. It's still early in the year. It's one of those deals where it's going to come down for a bit. With all the Cup guys in the series taking the wins, it makes the points a lot harder to fight for. So it's just one of those things where, you know, Regan Smith got his at Daytona and was able to jump to the early lead, so he was able to maintain the top 10 finishes to where he can actually hold some points. Chase Elliott's fourth right now. That's two rookies in the top five. In points, he's only eight back, so he can come in there pretty good, and I'm sure he's going to be a factor before this is out. I don't know if he's going to have enough to take the championship, but to see a rookie do it, going against some tough competition with the three Chevy, Ty Dillon for Childress, or his teammate Regan Smith, remains to be seen. Brendan Gaughan running in the sixth spot in points. Brian Scott is holding seventh. Dylan Kwasniewski is eighth. James Buescher ninth. And Mike Bliss is rounding out the top 10. So as we wait on our guest, hopefully she'll be joining us shortly. Right now, we'll see what Kyle Larson had to say about taking his first Nationwide Series win in his home state. I mean, you got to give it to the kid. And he drove really good, and I was kind of curious as to whether he would be one to watch out for, or not ready for Sprint Cup action. I think he would have needed another year Nationwide, but this is what Kyle Larson had to say after his first win. As the audio spoke,
we could go green to the end there, but once I got to him, it was tough to get by, and we had a really good race, and then I was nervous the last caution, but luckily it all worked out, and we were able to get my first Nationwide win here in my home state.
Of course, breaking through after a 5-second place finishes in the Nationwide Series, after finishing second to Kyle Busch a few times last year, again this year, to taking that checkered flag.
That last caution, I'd never noticed a TV screen in the middle one and two, and I saw my face, and next to it said 5 second place finishes in the Nationwide Series, and I was like, I am not getting another one. So, those guys were running really hard with me, and I was like, man, we're going to run second again. But, luckily it worked out and was able to stop that streak and get a win finally. And, it means a lot to have those guys, Rick Hendrick, Kyle Busch, Chase, who's done an amazing job so far, come up and congratulate me.
There you have Kyle Larson on his first win in the Nationwide Series, of course, running for Rookie of the Year in the Cup Series. It kind of takes him out of contention for points in the Nationwide Series, where he probably would have a good shot to become champion. He's got that kind of talent. Did everybody like his burnout with taking the wheel, the steering wheel off the car? It was pretty awesome. So, just have to see what comes next for the young lad. Then next happened to be driving the same number of car for Chip Ganassi Racing, taking over for Juan Pablo Montoya in the Cup Series. And, of course, the next day, it looks like it turned out to be another battle with Kyle Busch again. It seems to be the Kyle and Kyle show whenever these two get to run into it with each other. And Kyle Busch did have some words to say on Saturday after Larson's win about how the kid performs under pressure. So this is Carl Busch talking about Kyle Larson.
He held everything together. He was a little loose and running on the edge and right up next to the wall, but that's what Larson likes to do. So we see it a lot of weeks out of the year that he's able to do that, and he proved it again here today and didn't buckle under the pressure of either Kevin or I being up alongside of him or whatnot. He knew what he needed to do to win and did that.
Of course, second-place finisher Harvick had a good bit to talk about with Kyle Larson as well, and here's his thoughts on the kid.
The guy, since the first race he's come in here, he's been competitive, so he's a lot like Chase sitting next to me. I mean, it's like no big deal. They just go out and drive and act like they've been here for 20 years, so it's pretty fun to see.
Of course, Harvick talking about Chase, that big Chase Elliott, another youngster coming up as well, and Elliott, who wound up finishing pretty good, I guess he was the other highest finishing rookie, talking about how, because he scraped the wall, and apparently that helped his car.
Kind of things that we were fighting, so it was we've seen that happen a lot in the past. That's nothing new. If you hit it just right, you'll help your car flatten out the right side, and that's a good thing, especially in a place like this. So just a matter of how you hit it. And fortunately, I didn't hit it hard enough to knock the spoiler back on the right side. That's a big thing. So I hit just below that, and it was just kind of the right way. So it happens every now and then, not very often, though.
So that's Chase Elliott. Of course, we have another one here from Kyle Busch talking about the on-track battle and how much fun it was.
A fun race, the three of us going back and forth and trying to figure out who wanted to win the thing, but I know we all did. It just was certainly fun, and congrats to Kyle of coming out on top here. And, it was just a battle there at the end that was pretty clean, and you know, we were all able to come back, and it seemed like Kyle was loose, and Kevin could definitely run better down in the middle, and I was way too tight. So there was definitely three totally different ways of running around this place and things going on, but we all ended up right there.
And what a finish it was. Of course, now going on the next day to the Cup race, there were some situations where that kind of led towards deciding the finish of the race. We'll get to that in a little bit. Right now, like to take a little break and have a word with Cadence Candles. So if you want to get some candles, then try Cadence.
Cadence Candle is a family-owned company that makes the finest quality hand-poured candles you'll find anywhere, in many different colors, sizes, and scents. They use only the best wax and scents to ensure your candle performs to its very best, each and every time. Cadence uses a unique blend of hybrid wax that consists of a 50% soy and a 50% paraffin mixture, enabling the best of both worlds in candle making. The soy base is to ensure a cleaner burn while being environmentally friendly, and the paraffin is used to achieve a great scent throw and the ability to add color nicely, giving those bright, vibrant colors that catch your eyes. Cadence Candles carries a wide variety of gel candles as well. Need a fundraiser for your school or church? Candles make a great item to use for fundraisers for any type of function you may have. Give Cadence Candles a call at 610-960-5677 or find them on the web at www.cadencecandles.com. And for all you Facebook users, be sure to like them at Facebook at facebook.com/Cadence Candle.
And we're back here on Garage Talk Live. I'm Vince Pontigli. I guess Erica had something important to do, so she will not be joining us. No, I haven't joined us yet, so yeah, these things happen. Probably getting ready for this coming weekend at Las Vegas after finishing runner-up for the Gator Nationals there in Florida. So, things happen with the drivers, so hopefully to get her back on in the future a little bit. But right now, I was yesterday's Cup race turned out to be another battle of the Kyles again, and this time Kyle Larson was getting ready to make a move after a late yellow flag, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Bunched the field up with two to go. Of course, the yellow came out late on a spin by Clint Bowyer after hitting the actually, he didn't hit anything. He cut a tire and slid across the track, but he was pretty much clear of traffic and straightened out and headed back toward the pits when the yellow came out. At least that's what I saw. If anybody else saw it different, give me a call, 646-649-1899. But it looked to me that they threw the yellow flag late after about the fifth cut tire. Of course, Jimmy Johnson cut a tire and threw some debris. Rubber was heading up the track. Sheet metal was heading off the track because he was like in the middle. Keselowski cut a tire. Bowyer cut a tire and a few other cut tires as well. It just seemed to be that for some reason tires were only lasting 25 laps at that track. And I guess being as old, they say it was the oldest racing surface in NASCAR, so it's the only one that hasn't been repaved since, I guess, the beginning. And the way the cars were bouncing down the track, it looked like left sides were going away awfully quick. But there wasn't a lot of them weren't enough to bring out the caution until late. I mean, there were 9 cautions for 42 laps, and there were 35 lead changes amongst 15 drivers. Of course, the pole sitter was Matt Kenseth, and didn't seem to matter who won the pole. Kyle Busch, who started 14th, had to fight his way towards the front. The biggest mover of the race happened to be Sam Hornish Jr., who was filling in for Denny Hamlin, who wasn't medically cleared due to a sinus infection, started dead last and managed to come back to 17th. Even though the car was qualified in 13th position due to the driver change, he had to go all the way to the back of the field. So he was up running 14th, and he kind of got caught by the 33 car that happened to be, I think it was Brian Scott in the car yesterday. Brian Scott in Hornish didn't hit the wall, but he did have to back out of it and lost a lot of positions. But he did manage saving the car. So he was able to get back up to 16th. Jimmy Johnson, when he cut his tire late in the race, was leading. Had to come to pit road to get that all taken care of. So he wound up not quite making the chase yet. Jeff Gordon as well was trying to nurse his car, so his tires didn't go bad. But when they all came in the pit on that last caution, it was everybody was definitely getting tired. So it came down to a 4-tire stop versus a 2-tire stop versus no tires. I think there weren't that many people that didn't take tires after that left side was cutting down. Kurt Busch took 2 right sides trying to get track position. He went, Landon Castle stayed out in the 40 car, so he was your leader, choosing not to pit, which left Kurt Busch in second. Third was Kyle Busch, and fourth was Tony Stewart. So you had the Busch brothers right behind each other. Actually, third was Stewart. Fourth was Kurt Busch, because Kurt was lined up right behind Kyle. It was just a matter of time before they all dove around the 40 car, with the Busch brothers going high, Stewart and Harvick going low, and then they wound up changing position and just pushing each other. And out of nowhere on the restart came Kyle Larson on the last lap, and he was trying to shagged down Kyle Busch, but it wasn't to be. And Kyle Busch becomes the 5th different winner this year. So he makes the chase. Kyle Larson winds up 2nd. Kurt Busch 3rd. Matt Kenseth 4th. Tony Stewart, another good run for him in 5th. So Stuart Haas is looking pretty good. Between Harvick, Kurt Busch, and Matt Kenseth. I mean, not Matt Kenseth, Tony Stewart. Kenseth is just snuck in there between Kurt and Stewart on the finishing order there. That's why I mentioned his name. So Tony's Stewart's starting to make his presence known. Even Danica Patrick, the 4th car on that team, wound up 14th yesterday, which is her best finish of the year. So of course, she didn't qualify all that well. She's qualified 27th, made her way, and dodged a lot of the mayhem towards the end of the race when everybody was cutting tires, made it to the pits on time to get new tires. But so she wound up 14th. On the rest of the top 10, sixth was Jamie McMurray. Seventh, Brian Vickers with a good day. A.J. Allmendinger in the 47th was eighth. Paul Bernard in the 27 was ninth. And Carl Edwards finished 10th. All you Austin Dillon fans there, he finished 11th in the number three car. Only it just doesn't look right with the word Cheerios on the side. At least with the Dale Corning sponsorship, at least it kind of looks intimidating. But they pay the bills, so they pick when they want to be on the car. So the points as they stand now, of course, that changed all the points after this race. Race took 3 hours, 5 minutes, and 53 seconds with an average speed of 132.98 miles an hour. So it's almost 133 miles an hour. Margin of victory was 0.214 seconds, which was a tenth of a second quicker than yesterday's than the nationwide race on Saturday. So the finish was that close. The caution, late caution, made for an exciting finish, but I think they should have thrown it a bit sooner. It made for a longer race to the finish. You wouldn't have had a green-white checker, but at least you would have maybe a four-lap green flag run, which, who knows, that extra lap of green might have enabled Kyle Larson to sweep the weekend, but we don't know that because that's not the way it turned out. So as far as the points right now, as they go, it's Carl Edwards in first, 1 point ahead of Dale Jr. in second. Jeff Gordon was third. Well, two back. Four back is Brad Keselowski, who was the points leader coming into the race today. He had tire problems and had to lip it around and get it fixed. Matt Kenseth is fixed, fifth. Jimmy Johnson, sixth. Seventh is Kyle Busch. Eighth is Ryan Newman. Ninth is Austin Dillon. Tenth is Joey Logano. I'm going to take you all the way down to 16th because that's the amount of people that make the chase, but the only ones guaranteed so far will be the ones with wins. But Logano 10th, Hamlin 11th, 12th is McMurray, 13th Brian Vickers, Paul Menard 14th, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. is 15th, Kyle Larson actually is in the chase with 16th place with 131 points. Winds come into a factor, so for reseeding, it's going to be Edwards, Earnhardt, Brad Keselowski, Kyle Busch. I don't even see Harvick in this mix, but he will be there because he has a win. And none of the 16 that I read right now, Harvick isn't in there. Where did Harvick finish yesterday? Finished 36th. He wound up hitting the wall and beating up the car pretty good. So, Harvick drops out of the top 16 in points, but with a win, he's back in. So, when we all go to Richmond in early September for the last race before the chase, that'll make the difference. I just want to give a shout-out on air that friend of the show, Miss Sprint Cup Brooke Werner, resigned from being Miss Sprint Cup, so we wish her luck in all she does. So hopefully she'll join us on the air a little bit as a fan, and we wish her well, of course, as we go on the search now, because Sprint has their all-star race voting opened up, so we'll get one of the Miss Sprint Cups to join us on the air and explain how that all works. I'm going to get to some audio from yesterday's post-race press conference, but we're expecting Jennifer Jo Cobb to call in a little bit and her about this up-and-coming weekend at Martinsville. So she should be joining us here shortly, and we'll get to that. As far as us looking to talk to Eric Anders, we'll have to wait. Of course, next weekend, starting Thursday night, for some reason, the NHRA starts their race weekends Thursday, Friday, and Saturday for qual days. I guess two rounds on Friday, two rounds on Saturday, eliminations on Sunday. If you're in the Las Vegas area, it's March 28th, which is actually a Friday. So if you're in the Vegas area and you want to get tickets, you can get a season ticket package, or you can call 800-644-4444 to purchase tickets. Tickets range from child to reserve for $60. Junior is $141, and adult is $274. But that season ticket, or okay, weekend package. Here we go. If you figure with the season package, you're talking both events. They do race there twice in Las Vegas. So the weekend package, this is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Children 5 and under are free. The junior ticket up to the 6 to 12 are free with up to 4 tickets with purchase of adult general admission, which is $99. So adult reserve tickets are $129. Junior is $68. The child tickets are $30. And this is for the weekend. This is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And, of course, they got the Fancy Dancy Club Nitro Platinum package. But if you just want to go for Sunday's eliminations, because every ticket's a pit pass. You can walk around the pit, so if you're going to go make at least a Saturday and a Sunday out of it. Because at least Saturday, they take time, they qualify, they're all out there signing autographs. You walk right up to the hauler where they have the car right out there. It's $61 for Saturday, $21 for adult reserve. Juniors are $21, child are $10, and for all reserved, the general admission adults are $51, and then for kids 6 to 12, they're free, and 5 and under, they're free for general admission. So as we wait for Jennifer Joe to call in, we'll take another little break, and we'll be right back after these words.
Cajun's Candle is a family-owned company that makes the finest quality hand-poured candles you'll find anywhere, in many different colors, sizes, and scents. They use only the best wax and scents to ensure your candle performs to its very best, each and every time. Cajun's uses a unique blend of hybrid wax that consists of a 50% soy and a 50% paraffin mixture, enabling the best of both worlds in candle making. The soy base is to ensure a cleaner burn while being environmentally friendly, and the paraffin is used to achieve a great scent throw and the ability to add color nicely, giving those bright, vibrant colors that catch your eyes. Cadence Candles carries a wide variety of gel candles as well. Need a fundraiser for your school or church? Candles make a great item to use for fundraisers for any type of function you may have. Give Cadence Candles a call at 610-960-5677 or find them on the web at www.cadencecandles.com. And for all you Facebook users, be sure to like them at Facebook at facebook.com/CadenceCandle.
back here on Garage Talk Live. I'm Vince Bonfigli. You're listening to us on Blog Talk Radio. Join us here every Monday night from 8 to 9, sometimes 10. If I get four guests on, then we'll take her all the way out to 10 o'clock. But right now, well, I guess we'll hit some audio. And see. We can't reach out to Jennifer Jo unless she's trying to get through, unless we're having problems back at home base. If you remember last week, we had some technical difficulty where we had some bleed over from another show. But anyway, if you want to talk about the race last night, whether they should have thrown the yellow when they did, give us a call at 646-649-1899. I'm Vince Bonfigli and I'd like to hear your thoughts. Of course, coming up to Martinsville this week, we're looking at the world's shortest track. Well, not the world's shortest. NASCAR's top-level shortest track, because they only run at half mile as their shortest distance, and Martinsville being a tiny, tight paperclip. Even though Bristol is a half mile, it's actually a little longer. It's 0.533 miles. Plus, with all the banking, they can get the speeds up a lot quicker, where and Martinsville is a lot more old school, beating and banging. And I kind of like Martinsville. You sit on the back stretch, you've got the concrete corners, have to worry about the brakes. Brakes are a big issue there because you get on the gas, you got to get on the brakes to make the turn. And it's one of those tight little tracks where you have to be on the ball to catch. Now, you don't have to win. Your car doesn't have to be pretty to win at Martinsville. It just has to stay running. And Martinsville always seems to come down to a mad dash with about 13 laps to go because there's a lot of cautions on that tight little racing surface. And 43 cars, it does get crazy out there because everybody wants to be at the front. You can get lapped easier if your car is hooked up. And then you really don't have to worry too much about phantom cautions at Martinsville. They'll come on their own because there's just not enough racing room. Last week was different. They were cutting tires every 25 laps, which kind of, I mean, yesterday was different. With them cutting tires every 25 laps, especially there, I thought the tires would last, but we'd be blowing more motors because you run sustained high RPM there. Martinsville, you don't. You're on the gas, off the gas, brake going around the corner, going in, then on the gas again, coming out. And between Martinsville, Bristol, and Richmond, they're probably your three best, most fun tracks. And, of course, that's one of those tracks where we might have our sixth different winner in 6 weeks. Right now, we've had five races and five different winners. So it's one of those tracks where it should be pretty tough. So I will be making my pick a little later on in the show here, right before we get off the air. So if you want to call and make a pick, then here, let me give you a few specific stats to Martinsville. If we go alphabetical order, starting with Clint Boyer, he's got 4 top fives, 10 top tens, and an average finish of 12.6 at Martinsville. Kyle Busch, 8 top fives, 9 top tens, an average finish of 16. Not a good track for him either. Dale Jr. has 10 top fives, 15 top tens, average finish of 13.2, an average running position of 11.0. Now here we go, Jeff Gordon, 8 wins there. Denny Hamlin has 4 wins there. Harvick has 1. Jimmy Johnson has 8 wins there. That's a good track for, if there's 2 tracks that you can pretty much pencil in a Jimmy Johnson, it's either Martinsville or Dover. And Dover, right now, Johnson is the winningest driver at Dover, so you can't knock him out, especially around chase time. So we'll get to more of that in a little bit. But we do have some audio from our winner yesterday. It was Kyle Busch with his crew chief. And I guess the question on everybody's mind is getting a win this early in the season. Of course, Kyle has his take on that.
Certainly a great day for the 18 team and Interstate Batteries, M&Ms, everyone involved on our Camry. It's exciting to be able to win a race this early in the season, although Joe thinks it's been forever. And to put a winner's circle on our roof is certainly good, because it just gives us a little bit of, I wouldn't say relaxation, but it certainly takes the pressure off of winning and making the chase. So now we go out and we still got to continue to make our cars better. And I think that's, as a company as a whole, the 20 showed speed during stints today and could be really fast early, but then he'd fade hard. And then, we could show speed early and not be so good in the middle, but then come on at the end. So we're kind of all over the place, I feel like. But all in all, with the race that we had today, to be in victory lane, it's a huge relief. We're excited about that, and now we just got to put our focus forward on continuing to work hard and look forward to the next few weeks.
Of course, another question to Kyle is about his history of last lap wins.
I don't know. Put me in the right spot and give me the steering wheel, coach. So that's it. It was a great race last year. All in all, we were really fast last year, and I had a groove that worked for me, and I sort of forgot about it after the last restart, but then got back up there and chased those guys down.
Of course, second place finisher Kyle Larson talks about finishing second after a wild last lap.
I just watched it on TV, and it was pretty wild. We were 4 wide there, I think, in the one. So came out in fourth there, I think, and then got to second off turn 2 the next lap, and thought I might have a shot at Kyle depending on where he'd go into turn 3, but he was good enough to keep it on the bottom and stay ahead of me. But we'll take a second. It was a long race and definitely didn't expect to run second, so I'll take it and head back to North Carolina with a smile on my face.
Kyle Larson did go down to the apron to try to get around Kyle Busch, but Kyle Busch came down to make sure that didn't happen. And I guess stirred the media, because they were asking Kyle Larson about his hectic last lap movement.
Yeah, I had to move around a little bit. I spun my tires just a little bit, and Jamie was able to get a run to my inside, and so I was stuck in the middle, and I had to think I got to Jeff's outside. So luckily, you know, I didn't get tight behind anybody or loose or anything like that. And, you know, was a pretty, you know, I guess it was pretty hectic for him, but really nothing too scary for him either.
I don't think it should be too scary. The kid's running pretty well, and we'll see how he progresses through the season. Of course, third place finisher, Kyle Busch's brother, Kurt. Had this to say about his run yesterday, which is a good run for Stuart Haas Racing.
We are now joined by our third-place finisher in today's Auto Club 400, Kurt Busch, driver of the number 41 Haas Automation Chevrolet. Kurt battled quite a few folks out there today, especially towards the end of the race, even the boss man. So talk a little bit about the finish out there.
Yeah, we put ourselves in good position at the end of the race. You know, this race has two mindsets. One is to race 400 miles and not abuse your tires. The other mindset is it's most likely going to come down to a green-white checker or a short run at the end with fresh tires. We were in 6th to 10th most of the day. We might have been able to finish 5th. I think we were running 5th when Boyer spun. And, you know, to be up front and be in position with the Haas Automation Chevy is what we needed. We needed that after, you know, this season start is good in some reasons with leading laps and running up front, but it's been horrible with our finishes. So it was nice to race the boss, Tony Stewart, today for the win. You know, you're excited in one moment. The second moment when it sets in, it's like, wait a minute, neither the 14 or the 41 won the race today. And, you know, the strategy call was two tires, me and Daniel Knost, my crew chief. We both agreed that was the right call. We beat everybody off pit road by a large margin. And was it because everybody's stop was slow and maybe we should have put four on? It's something that, you know, you look back on because you didn't win. Congratulations to Kyle, my brother. They won the race today with four fresh tires, and it was a nice battle up front. I mean, I didn't get a perfect restart, but it wasn't a horrible restart. It's just everybody starts pushing and shoving, and I didn't get down into turn one leading. I got down into turn one side by side with Tony, and the two of us raced for the next 3 miles side by side. So if I could have gotten clear, gotten up front, maybe we could have brought the Haas Automation Chevy to victory lane. But we'll take a top five any day.
Okay, we'll open it up for questions downstairs first. We'll start right here in the middle with Tom.
Hi, Kurt. Tom Jensen, FoxSports.com. Congratulations on a great run today. Tires seem to be the issue for so many people today. Did you have any concerns during the day? Did you feel anything? Were you worried about it at all?
We were lucky. We had our tire problem.
There you have Kurt Busch with his take on his run yesterday. Of course, it was a good run for him. It was a good finish for him, having some rough starts. But, you know, he's with a new team and a new crew, as is Kevin Harvick. Tony Stewart has a new crew chief, and Danica Patrick, I wonder if she's got any new people. I would hope she has new people, too, but... at least everybody was in the top 15 except for Harvick, who wound up hitting the wall due to a tire going down. It kind of ruffled his day early, so it's a shame. I was hoping we'd have a couple of guests tonight. Doesn't look like things are going to work out. So give me a call at 646-649-1899, and if you want to make a pick live here on the air, you can do that because I will be posting mine as we go into the paperclip Martinsville Speedway as we do battle and with the Truck Series coming in on Saturday and the Cup Series coming in for race number 6 on a 6th different track configuration. Of course, Martinsville being a half mile, Bristol being a half mile. Technically, they're the same length, but they're not. Bristol is 0.533, Martinsville 0.500. Different shape. One is high-banked concrete. The other one is flat and concrete in the corners on the low groove, not even so much the high groove of the track, the low groove of the track. So it's going to make it interesting of how it's going to come out. And there's a lot of good candidates that are going to be battling for a win, but I think for this race, somebody's got something to prove, and if you're going to come down, I'm thinking of one or two people. But this week, out of those two people, I'm going to go with six-time Jimmy Johnson, and he's going to be my pick to take the win this weekend. He's had a few the last couple weeks. He's had a few chances to do it, and of course, last week, yesterday, blowing a tire with the lead, leading the most laps. I think this is going to be his comeback week. Tell us what you think. Give me a call, 646-649-1899. And how do you see it? If not, you can always go on the Facebook page. I'd like to have you have a few listeners call in and tell me what they think, because we're supposed to have a couple guests scheduled. If you've tuned in to listen to them, you missed them. Rather. So we'll try to reschedule both in the near future. That being as it is, another good weekend in the books. Nationwide, as I said, is off this week. They won't return until the following week at Texas. So the Truck Series is their first week back in action in since Daytona. So I imagine they're pretty rusty, and they're looking to get their back series back in action for guys like Jeff Burton and Matt Crafton, Johnny Sauter, looking to get back into the action again. So we'll see what happens this weekend, and we'll have a wrap-up next week. So I guess Carmike Cruise Night will be postponed until Monday, March 31st, which is next week. Due to impending weather, I guess I was scheduled to go off this week. And with snow in the forecast for the Northeast, it's been a crazy winter, but spring is here. But you still have those goofy snowy days, so... That being said, anyway, it's just one of these goofy weeks. Hopefully the weather forecast for Martinsville looks in the mid to high 60s this weekend. I could say that because I live in the area. I'm only a couple hours away. So we'll have... the update for you then, so that should go off without a hitch. So as the teams go back from the West Coast to the East Coast down to the Southwest, as a matter of fact, we'll check the Cup schedule. It's we got Martinsville, then Texas, then back second week of April for Too Tough to Tame. April 12th at Darlington,
And then the action track, April 26th at Richmond. Going then back out, then out to Talladega for restrictor plate race number 2, the first week of May. They always run that one the week of May. But had a little trouble there with the words, and but anyway, it's been a pretty good week so far. Hitting the short track in Marsville. So I'm picking Jimmy Johnson. Go to Garage Talk Live. Facebook.com/Garage Talk Live. Hit a like on our page. We'd like to increase our fans up to, we're over the 1,000 mark. So we have 1,065. So let's build on that. Tell your friends where to go, what to tune in. So we will or you can follow me at GT on Twitter, and it's at GTL Vince. Of course, I'm not on Twitter that much. I'm going to link them together with Facebook. So maybe when I'll just stick to one and it'll switch over to the other. But as the week continues, if there's anything throughout the week that pops up, I'll post it on our Facebook page. And if you follow us on Twitter at Garage Talk Live, we have one of those as well, then you can see everything on Twitter. So tell your friends to follow us here. Hit like on our page. We'll be looking to get a few more guests for next week. Let me see who might need help. We're looking to get a young girl driver. As our book admin, Kyle, likes to send me people to get a hold of. And go check out Jamie Weimer. She's looking to get into the Peak Antifreeze Challenge, which is put on by Peak Antifreeze and Michael Walter Bracing. She's looking to get voted in so she can compete in the challenge for a ride. Cassie Gannis tried that last year, who's a former guest of the show, so we'll see if we can get her on to talk about her run and maybe boost her voting as well. So anyway, that's about it for us this week. I'm Vince Bonfigli. You're listening to Garage Talk Live. Tune in to us next week, next Monday at 8, for a whole new round of stuff, and we'll see what happens. So good night, and good racing.